There's a lot to this. It's a good thing to remember and keep in perspective. So I'm just going to take a Sunday to do this. And Phyllis and I have a goal to identify some of the poor. I'm going to speak on the poor today and speak on giving to them, not forgetting them. And we do that already. And really, I want you to listen to the teaching in respect to just your own life and what you feel, how you feel, to walk that out. But this is a very encouraging word, actually, and it comes with promise. And it's interesting that today is Father's Day, because this is really one of the issues that would be on a father's heart. It is fatherly, and the call from God's heart to leaders, and then we're going to look at who he identifies as the judges of the earth. The call is for them to not be forgetful, but to be mindful of the poor, of the defenseless, of that category of people. And the temptation is that as you're growing in popularity, success, and I want you to not be thinking about the government or something that's over your head or be out of your reach, or something that you'd be watching and scrutinizing over from, you know, TV or watching that. But I want you to look from the perspective of what you're powerful in and what you have power and authority in. And here's the reality. There is always some sphere of influence that you have, and that's what I want you to pay attention to. Your sphere of influence and how you can bring this. We're going to look at the word judge. Not one of our big words around here, judges and judging and all that kind of stuff, you know. But our immediate, when we say the word judge and we're, as a noun, a person that is a judge, we have kind of a particular view of that as someone that's always in a courtroom and is relating to pronouncing judgments, and almost always in the instances of criminals or an injustice or settling a case, correct? That's where we go. That's what a judge is. What's a judge? A judge is a person that administrates and makes decisions in that area. But when God refers to judges, a judge was something way beyond that. A judge was a ruler, one that ruled well, and one that executed justice. Executed what was right, kept things in a good perspective, brought the government of heaven to earth, watched over, took into consideration the poor, was not self-centered, was not political in their role as a judge, but was fair and just and right. And heaven screams justice all the time, like justice and what is correct and what is ethical and what is mindful and is based on the truth, not on the other things that in our culture, when we depart from having the Lord first in our life. And again, look at this in your own household, your own life. Then other things enter in. If you don't keep the Lord in the forefront, you don't keep the values of the kingdom up front, if you don't live in a way that you're that he's the one that's watching you, like you always keep that, what's this about? There's someone that's watching. I remember a little season of my life as kind of the oddest thing that was happening. I kept walking out of stores with things that I didn't buy accidentally. That can make you paranoid real quick. Like on the bottom of the cart was a box of tile that I hadn't bought. Had bought the stuff in the top, but I forgot about the one. I get out to my car. Ah. And this happened several times. There'd be some item I knew that I hadn't paid for that I accidentally walked out with. So I would walk back in and go, I didn't pay for this. Always a funny response from the, you know, cashier, like, stupid, like, why did you even, you know, why'd you do this? And it's kind of like, they look like, oh, you're honest, you're whatever. And I remember thinking at the time, I wasn't saying much, but I remember thinking, well, actually, I know who's watching. It's about that. That's all it's about. It's not about impressing anybody. It's about, I know who's watching. And I'm not being tempted, but I know who's watching. I know this matters to heaven. And there were, like I said, it happened repeatedly, about three times, I think, if my memory, it's been several years back. It was just an odd thing. It happens. And so I just kept doing, you know, it was important for me to understand, what's this about? This is about doing the right thing before the eyes of the one who's watching my life. It will matter later. It'll, in heaven, all this stuff matters. And so being a judge and that, I want to clarify, that's what this is about. Now let's look at Psalms 82. I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. All rise, for God now stands up to judge as he convenes heaven's courtroom. God gets a little bit aggressive in Ezekiel. I think it's Ezekiel 48 when he gives a little bit of a, he gives a pretty strong rebuke to the shepherds. Like, I'm the shepherd. And you guys are abusing, and you were called to be shepherds, to be like me, but you're not like me. You're cruel. You're not taking care of the sheep. You're abusing them. You're using them. You're misusing them for your own personal gains. You're gaining and they're losing, and that's not my heart, and I rebuke you. Matter of fact, I'm going to remove you. So God has some attitude about this. He comes out a little bit aggressive when it comes to this thing. And the judge is the same thing. He's the judge of all the earth. So when he placed somebody in a place of responsibility, what he expects is, I want you to be like me in this. That's why I'm giving you this authority, because I want you to act like me. I want you to do it the way I would do it. And if you don't do it the way I will do it, eventually I'm going to have to deal with that. It's like a real important thing to his heart. So he judges the judges and rulers and rules over the rulers. So he'll come to judge. Remember, if you're young and old, if you're old enough, you remember, you know, that thing was from one of the silly shows that we watch. Here come to judge, you know. He is the judge, saying, how long will you judges refuse to listen to the voice of the true justice and continue to corrupt what is right by judging in favor of the wrong? So here's where this goes. If you don't watch over, and this, let's not look at the government, who we love to shoot arrows at, or other people in places, maybe the CEO of the company you work for, or the owner, or whoever. It's real easy to take shots at them. Just resist the temptation. I'd encourage you. Pull up. It's a bullet that's going to come back to shoot you. So don't pull the trigger. We all see stuff. I get it. There's a lot of stuff out there. Matter of fact, if your employment to your present employer was based on them being perfectly ethical, you'd all have to quit tomorrow, probably, right? Hopefully nobody that works here for the church, no. But we find ourselves in situations where we're working for systems that aren't always on the up and up. There's always things, and it's real easy to get caught up in the judgment of that thing and be offended with it. So I want you to look at your own life. And here's what he's like. I want you to look at what's right and not be tempted. You start to make decisions and give favor to the wrong. Why would you do that? Because there's money in it. Because there's popularity with it. There are things that lead us into a temptation to concede in places that we normally wouldn't. Time will wear you down sometimes, and you stop being clear about something. Verse 3, defend the defenseless, the fatherless and the forgotten, the disenfranchised and the destitute. Your duty is to deliver the poor and the powerless. Liberate them from the grasp of the wicked, but you continue in your darkness and ignorance while the foundations of society are shaken to the core. Verse 6, didn't I commission you as judges, saying, you are like gods since you judge on my behalf? You are all like sons of the Most High, my representatives. Nevertheless, in death, you are nothing but mere men. You will be laid in the ground like any prince, and you will die. All arise, for God now takes his place as judge of all the earth. Don't you know that everything and everyone belongs to him? The nations will be sifted in his hands. So it's this overall, and that's the end of the chapter, and it's like, ouch. You know, God's like, there's some intensity there, isn't there? And in the heart of that, back up to verse 3, defend the defenseless, the fatherless, and the forgotten. This also shows up in Isaiah 58, doesn't it? When the Lord's calling Israel to a fast, and they're like, they're saying, hey, we fast, we pray. He's like, honestly, when you fast, you beat your servants. When you do all these other things outside of the church service that are like not cool, and you expect me to hear you, like, listen, knock that off. There's all kinds of, and it's about you're not walking in integrity, and you're not functioning in a way that you're living with the Lord's eyes on you. And again, I'll say it 100 times today, maybe. We'd love to criticize people that are in the limelight, leaders, etc., but be careful. You're probably overlooking, you know, you're probably a big old log hanging out of your eye. In other words, yeah. Like, be careful. Usually you're overlooking what is a real problem in your own life. So what are you responsible for? Here in the words of this children's song, I'm powerful. Very important to instill that in our children so that they're not victims, they're powerful. If they want change to come, they realize I'm responsible, I'm powerful. With the Lord, I'm powerful. But I'm not a victim. I'm not just I'm powerful to choose. What I choose matters. Even if it's in a little secret place, it matters. Ethics matter. Being kind to the poor matter. And it's real easy to get caught up in life and forget those that are defenseless or destitute. Or for us in our culture, sometimes they can be a long way away. So far away, you go, well, how do I do this? We get disheartened with some of the charity programs that are self-serving. We get disheartened with abuses. There are a lot of reasons to get disheartened with this. We've all gotten into situations where we're helping someone that has need, and then a little ways into that, let's just say it goes south for a lot of different reasons, and you go, oh, this is, I'm in bondage to that. Like, something happened. This isn't good. And it can cause you to take a step back and lose your heart of compassion for the poor. I remember going on a trip, I think Karen and Chris, we went together to New York. And I was young in the ministry and half working and half doing this and that. And I was doing good to have a pair of shoes that didn't have holes in the soles, you know. And I get to the streets of New York to the homeless, and they got nicer shoes on than I do. And I'm just scratching my head. And they're peaceful, and I'm full of anxiety. I'm like, wow, this is all wrong, man. You know you're having a bad day when the street people are quoting scriptures to you, and they're free, and you're all wrapped up way too tight. And in that, it was real easy to get offended at some of the things we saw. Like, whoa, this isn't what I thought it was, you know. That is not, it's never an excuse for your heart to grow cold about giving to the poor. You've got to guard over that thing. And there's a lot of reasons in our opportunities in our culture to get involved in something and then get offended or find that things aren't really what they were presented to be and back away. So be careful, beware of that, and align yourself to the judge of heaven and earth, to the judge that's watching, and watching how you administrate the responsibilities in your life, how you use the influence in your life. So it's good for us to take moments, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, so I appreciate the generosity that you have and that you support and do different things. Here's some scriptures. I'll just read these. Proverbs 11:24. Generosity brings prosperity, but withholding from charity brings poverty. So maintaining the generosity is healthy for your finances. Let's just say that. And once you've got disheartened about it, you have this, you can have this feeling like, oh, I can't afford to do that. And what you can't afford is to not do it, and you can't afford to be embittered about it. What we need to do is responsibly look for the right places that you can give, and give in a way that is unto the Lord and not people. You'll find fault in almost every ministry that you get involved with, or every situation sooner or later. Get in deep enough and look deep enough, and you'll probably find a problem. So if you're looking for the perfect situation or the perfect person to give to, give it up. But if you give as be responsible, you get to choose this. You get to choose this. Sometimes people complain about being misled in ministries, and I'll be like, honestly, dude, like, the handwriting's on the wall. You can tell. Like, be responsible. Pay attention. You pray about things. You're not a victim. No one twisted your arm. No one, whatever. Like, give as unto the Lord. You choose. Be responsible. You discern. Don't have to judge in that. You can just, I've been encouraging people, you either have a yes or a no in your heart. And let's just leave it at that. That's a yes or a no. Everything beyond that is trouble. Jesus said it, and it's true. Start explaining the no, and you'll be in you'll sin before you're done talking, I guarantee it. You'll put yourself in bondage before the conversation's over. It's okay to go, no, I'm not feeling that. Why? It's just a no. I don't want to. It's not about a why. It's about a yes or a no in my heart. Let your yes be no, yes, and your no be no. Proverbs 14:21, he who has mercy on the poor is happy. So doing this with the right heart actually brings joy. When you give to the poor, when you give to the needy, and you give in the right heart, the right spirit, there's a joy that comes from that. Want to get happy? Give to the poor. I heard somebody recently, I'm probably going to get in trouble over this statement, but there's American poor, and then there's real poor, you know. So sometimes we're looking at American poor, and that, yeah, you know what I'm saying? And it's neat to identify truly the true defenseless, the true needy. And I'll just say, just look for that. Proverbs 19:17, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. The Passion Translation says, every time you give to the poor, you make a loan to the Lord. Don't worry, you'll be repaid in full for all the good you have done. Now, if the Lord says to us, owe no man anything, then how much more will he not be in debt to us? So it's interesting. I think this is the only classification when you give, that you, when you give to this, you lend to the Lord. In other words, the Lord's like, I'm the one that wants to give to the poor, and when you do it for me, I'm indebted to you, and I don't keep my, you know, I pay my debts. Checks in the mail. You give, I'll reimburse you. It's like working for someone, like an employer that's really good. Yeah, just pay for that with your, and I'll make sure I reimburse you. And they do. It's in your next paycheck. They add that. That's who God is. It's like, oh, I'll reimburse you for that. With interest. That's the truth. So when you give, it's important, and this is why this verse is important, because in this kind of giving, it can start to become humdrum, and the obligation thing can set in, and that's really unhealthy. And talking to people recently, it's so good when you are making commitments, and we're going to get into this here in a little bit. It's good to make a commitment for a set amount of time, often without wisdom, and I've done this 100 times, I get into something and I feel real inspired and I'm going to give a certain amount every month for the rest of my life as long as I both shall live, you know, that kind of thing. And there's nothing wrong with saying, for the next season of my life, the next year, the next whatever, I'm going to give to this. In a year, I'm going to reevaluate and see if it's still where I want to distribute my money to. That's wisdom. I think often we get it because it's not right to give and not do it in faith. And that's true of all your giving across the board. I really always want to encourage people, give in faith or don't. Give with joy or don't, because the qualifications of giving in the kingdom are joy, faith, believing the Lord's, like, and so you're giving to the poor. If you resent it, you've got a heart issue. I would encourage you, pull up till you get that dealt with, because you don't get credit for giving things grudgingly, begrudgingly. Like, isn't it interesting? I forget the references, Philippians, that, you know, about your giving. Like, don't let it be grudgingly or out of compulsion. Let it be sincere, something that you've prayed about, you've considered. And consider your part. You're allowed to do that. You don't have to impress anybody. It needs to be something. It's better to give in ways where you can keep running and you can make it to the end of the year rather than giving in an extravagant way. And there are times when the Lord speaks to us. That's between you and the Spirit. But it's interesting. I often, when I do look at something, then I want to, you know, be the, here he comes to save the day, you know, some, you know, phenomenal thing. I love giving big. You know, I'm like, you know, fiddler on the roof. If I were a rich man, da 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 da, you know. Because I do love to give big. I do love that. That's cool. I love that. I hope in the days ahead, as our church increases in resources, that we can give big. That's one of my, like, I would love that. That we can give and affect things. That we can give big in situations. And if we continue to prepare the way we are, we're going to get that opportunity. We're going to get to give. But that's cool. The Lord will entrust us. Do you understand? It's not about other things. The Lord can entrust us with wealth if he sees our heart and knows he can trust us to distribute wealth and do it like kingdom. Then, now there's a whole different reason to prosper, isn't it? There's a whole, not to build more buildings, not to make a grander display of our ministry, but to be able to distribute wealth to please heaven, to please the judge of the earth that's watching, saying, be mindful of the poor, and be mindful of this, and sow here and build here. It's not about building ourselves up. That, it changes everything, doesn't it? That would be the heart of the judge, the heart of the king. And lastly, Proverbs 31. I'm going to have Phyllis come up, and then we're going to share a video or two here. Proverbs 31:9, plead the cause of the poor and the needy. So that's one of the things that we're doing today, is we're pleading the cause of the poor and needy that have no power to plead their case, plead their cause. And we're looking to participate in very doable ways in a particular area that we felt to share on. So Phyllis, you want to come up and share, get you a microphone?
I'll be real quick about this. I have told you up front about a couple weeks ago that Rick and I, we were up on a Monday night and we were singing and worshiping and praying, and he sang a song that talked about the orphan. And immediately the weight of the orphans and came on me, and I began to intercede. And the vision in my mind at that point was the garbage dumps in different countries where you'll find young kids running orphaned and people just starving. And so I saw this in my mind, man. There was a fervency to pray, and Rick and I began to pray together and go back and forth. And we didn't talk about it. We just went on with other people praying. And it was a couple days later, maybe, or the next day, that I said to Rick, I said, man, did I feel the Spirit on that. That was amazing. He said, I did too. And I said, Rick, I feel that we're supposed to do something as a church. And he said, yeah, I was getting the same thing. So we happened to be going to a conference in Pittsburgh with Joseph Garlington and Georgie.
That weekend, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, week, that weekend. That week. Mm-hmm. With Joseph Garlington and Georgie and Banoff. And we saw these videos. And we went, oh my gosh, here's what we're supposed to do. And the Georgian's wife loves ministering at the garbage dumps. He said if she could, she'd be there constantly. So we had this feeling all weekend that the Lord was saying that we're to do this. So we've been praying, how do we do this as a church? Now, I know a lot of you, and I know a lot of you give to ministries, and we do too. And so we can't by ourselves do this. But we felt that the Lord wanted us as a body to do this. And so I said, here's what we could do. What we're going to do is we're going to pass out or put back in the back these pledge. And I'm thinking if we had 20 people given five, this doesn't have to be a lot. But as a church, we're going to sow into this ministry for those that feel led by the Lord. And we're going to sow in faith. I believe that there's something here that the Lord, I love this. He wants us to lend to him. And then he'll get back. I love that. I love that word. And so I feel that as a body, and I feel it's important that it's done as a body, not just individually, but as a body, that we're to sow in this particular ministry. And if we had 20 people given $5, if we had 10 people given $10 a month, that's all we need. Because I think it takes $100 to school and to feed these children that they are medical. Rescuing, all right? And so you, as you listen to the video, see if the Lord is asking you to spare $5 a month. It's not really big. I just, again, I heard the Lord. I heard him ask. And now I present it to you, and it's up to you to see if that is what the Lord's telling you.
$8.4 million children today are slaves. That's at least 15% of the children in the world, and it doesn't even include the countless children who suffer the abuse of life of hunger and degradation because of extreme poverty. In India, Thailand, Cambodia, and Burma, more children than anywhere else on the planet are exploited and forced into dangerous conditions as child laborers, soldiers, and prostitutes. Can you imagine if this nightmare became the reality of your child? Neither could we. Village to village, city to city, as we travel around the world, the numbers and the statistics suddenly became names and faces. As we grabbed their hands, they captured our hearts, and we knew we couldn't let go. Winnie and I, our hearts beat for the poor. As our hearts grew, so did our vision. It started with just one, but soon, in addition to the hundreds of children we feed each month, we're supporting children all around the globe. In India, over 18 million children make a living on the streets, and many of them are taken as slaves and prostitutes. We started the Joy House to rescue children and see the untouchables transformed by the love of God. In Thailand, one-third of all prostitutes are children, many of whom were kidnapped and trafficked from Cambodia. These children are aching to know real love, so we built a home for them to grow and heal. We also sponsor one rescue operation each month from Thailand and bring home trafficked children. In Burma, children as young as 12 years old are forced to fight in tribal armies. I carried an AK-47 when I was in the Bulgarian army, and I know that that gun does not belong around a child's neck. So we're working to create even more safe houses for these little soldiers to once again become children. These are the ways we fight for justice, to protect the children, restore their dignity, and provide them with an opportunity to change the world. But in order to make all this happen, we need your help. Our current cost to meet the need of one child is $100 a month. An amazing amount when you consider the greatness of its impact. This is a call to arms, and we want you to join us in the battle against injustice. The children have the power to change the world, but you and I have the power to help them do it. If we could touch a child at this age and help them realize their identity as son or daughter, it's not too long before their smiles return, their innocence is restored, and their hopes and dreams start to become a reality. That is how we bring the culture of heaven to earth, releasing His joy and transforming nations. You may not be able to rescue all 8.4 million child slaves right now, but we believe that if we partner together, we can rescue the one, and another one, and another one.
Take one if you're interested in pass it back. I only have like 24 or so. So take one of these if you're interested and pass it back, and then just put them in the offering if you feel to do that. But pray about this. Like we said to each other, let's specifically pray for the Lord to show us where, because there's a plethora of places to give to and things to get involved with. And And it was interesting, just within a few days, we were at this event, and I said, Phyllis, I think this is it. Like, we're getting an answer right away. I think this is the direction. What's unique, there's a couple things that are unique about Georgi and Banoff. We used to sing some of his worship songs in the early days of our church. And on my guitar, not to us, oh Lord, you know. And he has this Bulgarian accent. He was saved as a hippie and had this amazing conversion. And so he was early, like in the Jesus movement, he was young. He's a little bit older than us. And all the children's ministry songs, there were songs that we did. Robin, Kelly, and I would do a puppet show for several years called The Music Machine. Georgi and Banoff was the one that wrote a lot of that stuff and a lot of the music for that. And there were four or five different Christian musical presentations like that that were so effective and different albums. So this guy is somebody I've known from way back, and here he is with their ministry growing and increasing. And he also just loves the presence of the Lord and brings that everywhere he goes. So I love connecting with this, and then also with Iris, which is Heidi Baker's ministry, looking into that. But I would like, we don't talk much about this here, but beyond this point, as you pray about some involvement, if you'd like to join Phyllis and I, that would be wonderful. I would like to see, it's on my heart to go to do some mission trips, and these are great opportunities to go. There are different trips, and they take trips all over the world. There are different places, and it takes a little bit of work on your part to get prepared to go, but how cool that we come to a place, we start sending some people out. Like, we've not done that a lot, and it would really be good. I know I'm praying and looking for an opportunity to go on one of these, and with them or with Heidi Baker's ministry, or something else the Lord just opens a door for. So I'm just kind of paying attention to desires that are in my heart and things that I want to do. And one of my desires is to see several of you prepare and do a trip. These trips revolutionize your life. They change you. And it seems sometimes wasteful to spend thousands of dollars on a trip when you could give thousands of dollars. But the impact and the effect of going into these ministries and then finding these ministries that are have such a kindred spirit with us, like-minded as far as in the spirit and the joy and the just the dancing, like it blessed me to see the dance, just the different elements that were there at these children's homes and the different things that they're doing. So I just was excited about this. So I want all of you to pray about that. And so it's just a good day to take and just set aside and just talk about this. And I just believe it'll open up a lot of things. So it's a, kind of a call to let's give attention to this area and see what the Lord has. You know, my heart's desire has been one of my long tucked away dreams is that we get to the place. I know we're small, but I still can't help but dream. It's always been my dream that we have to send people out, even teams out, to go to places and be a part. And that's not ridiculous. It's just something the enemy keeps robbing and stealing from us and keeping us, you know, on our backside and in the defensive mode and struggling for life so often in so many chapters of our life. And we're coming out of that. I really believe the days are gone. I was listening to a prophet named David Wagner, and he said, this is the time. You know that scripture about hope deferred makes the heart grow faint? He said, this is the time for dreams to come to pass. Like, this is the season for things that have been hoped for long. This is the time. This is the season for those things to happen, for those things to come to pass. And I just have been encouraging myself with listening to prophetic words and words of hope and destiny and just the infusion of it. And it really, really affects you. It's really, really good. So I think that's about, that covers everything today for that. So just be prayerful about that. And I want you to, you know, I just want you to be prayerful and give, if you would get involved, do that as a real joy and just something you really decide to do and want to do. So is there anything else we need, it would be good for us to pray for today? Kind of bless the fathers. Do we need to do anything else with that? And we're good. So I know we have things to go do. It's Father's Day. It's national holiday. And yeah, so I just want to encourage all of you, be blessed and prosper, and thank you for the testimonies and the things that are going on in your lives. So yeah, it's good. We're doing it. We're taking care of business. So let me pray over all of you. Father, I just ask for blessings, protection, supernatural protection over our people this week. I ask for dreams and visions to come to them. I ask for disheartened hearts to be lifted. I ask for the wind to blow on dreams, regardless of age, regardless of circumstance, regardless of what we may look at as deterrence. Holy Spirit, blow and bring new life to even dry bones. There's nothing more dead than dry bones. That's deader than dead. And you asked the prophet, can these bones live? And he was smart enough to not answer the question. Lord, if you say they can live, they can live. And that's our answer to you, Lord. Can dry bones live? If you say something can live, it can live. If you say something can come to pass, it can come to pass. So we just stand and say, Father, we believe, help our unbelief. Let everything come to pass and let us cast aside all limitations and all discouraging thoughts and things we've given up on. I just ask that dreams will start to get stirred up again. Things that have been tucked away and given up on will come back out of the drawers and out of the closets where they're hidden away and get back up into our view so that we can look at these things with faith and joy and prepare as if we're leaving tomorrow, as if they're coming to pass tomorrow. And we thank you for all that in Jesus' name. Be in health, prosper. Amen.